Good morning again. So I haven't introduced myself. I'm Pastor Alicia, and I'm so happy to be here, so proud to be the pastor of this church. Today, as I said, I'm excited and nervous about this topic, but here we go. So our affirmation number seven. Preserving religious freedom and the church's ability to speak prophetically to government by resisting the commingling of church and state. So why would this even be an affirmation, and why are we talking about this in church? What in Scripture supports that we might talk about this in church? Well, this affirmation is something that really piqued my interest. It is something we should talk about in church, and it runs through our history as Christians and as citizens of the United States and of the world. And I just have a disclaimer here. Oh, it's okay. We'll read that. So this is George Carlin, and this is the humorous side, because he's a great comedian, or was. I'm completely in favor of separation of church and state. My idea is that the two institutions screw up enough on their own, so both of them together is certain death. So keep that humor in mind as we continue forward. Excuse me. I have a disclaimer. I received a minor in both history and political science, and I'm a junkie when it comes to elections and history. So just know that this really was exciting for me to think about and talk about. So what is the separation of church and state? Well, the separation of church and state means that there is not a church, the government does not claim one church, one religion, to be the religion of the nation. So it means that it wouldn't the nation doesn't have a church, and not meaning Christian, but if a nation were to pick a religion, it would be Protestant, or no, it wouldn't be Protestant, it would be Catholic, or it would be Baptist or Methodist or something like that. So with separation of church and state, the state or the government has not chosen a religion to name as the overall religion. And it also means that as a church, we're able to speak out against things that we might disagree with in the government. So here's President Madison, and from way back. And I have no doubt that every new example will succeed, as every past one has done, in showing that religion and government will both exist in greater purity the less they are mixed together, probably because we can do checks and balances. So our scripture today from Luke, Jesus, they're trying to trip up, they're trying to trick Jesus. And at first I was just going to have the text in the end, give what is Caesar's to Caesar and what is to God, God. And then I looked more closely at this entire text, and it's really about the leaders of the day trying to trick Jesus so they can arrest him. Jesus' message was not one that leaders really wanted to hear, because he spoke about caring for the poor and imprisoned. And many leaders didn't want to think about the poor, so they were looking for Jesus to trip things up so that they could arrest him. So we need to stay outside of government so that we can be critical and push for Christian values within our country and government. If we were an inside, or if we were the Church of the U.S., like the Church of England was, we would have rules and expectations set by the government. And Jefferson had a great quote about this. Religious institutions that use government power in support of themselves and force their views on persons of other faiths or of no faith undermine all our civil rights. Moreover, state support of an established religion tends to make the clergy unresponsive to their own people and leads to corruption within religion itself. Erecting the wall of separation between church and state, therefore, is absolutely essential in a free society. And he's coming out of the context of the Church of England and how that had restricted those in England. So if a church and state were one, how could it legitimately speak of the Prince of Peace? How could a church speak out for peace and expect peace? And I have a book over here that talks about that. Brian Stone, Evangelism After Christendom, The Theology and Practice of Christian Witness, he strongly believes that Christianity only succeeds when it is an outsider, living on the margins and speaking up for all people. I have more books. You can see I am a junkie. The United States may be mostly Christian country, but freedom of religion ensures all religions can reside as neighbors and worship in the U.S. Of course, it is impossible to make decisions about government without our beliefs. So even though we are speaking about the separation of church and state, when we serve in government or assert our right to vote or speak up or out about government, we cannot separate these decisions with our beliefs. And that's what Stephen Prothrow talks about in the American Bible, how our words unite, divide, and define a nation, that we cannot separate our beliefs with our decisions. And it's a great discussion on that, of where we come from and how that shapes what we're speaking up for. So it seems as though when we stopped talking about these things, our attendance in the overall church declined. I remember seeing a video of a Methodist bishop in the late 1950s or early 1960s in a conversation about 20 or 30 minutes long with a TV show kind of like 60 Minutes, in which he talked about the civil rights movement and the ecumenical movement of the time. And I don't see that anymore. I'm not seeing a long discussion with members of the church, people in authority from the church, or even just regular everyday congregation members talking about these things. And so Diana Butler Bass wrote this great book, Christianity After Religion, The End of Church and the Birth of a New Spiritual Awakening. And in this, she talks about the 10 horrible years between 2000 and 2010 and the things that happened that were huge scale things like 9/11 and the scandal that rocked the Catholic Church with sexual abuse of children. And people were asking, where is God in this? And there weren't really any answers coming from the church. And those that were coming were not speaking for the global church, the whole all of Christianity. They were just putting little bits and pieces out there. And as that happened and people were asking, where is God in this? Our attendance in our churches declined. Well, they tried to trick Jesus, but he was able to negotiate in a very smart way. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God. And he, was the smartest person on earth. So as Christians, it is our obligation to speak out when necessary, to make sure Christian values are lobbied for in government, not so that every person is Christian, but that Jesus Christ's morals of peace, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, caring for the sick and imprisoned, turning the other cheek, treat others as you would yourself, and love your neighbor are heard. Are we not called to be part of creating on earth as it is in heaven? As Christians, we can be a part of this change as we speak up for the citizens of our nation and our world. The separation of church and state allows Christians to speak authentically of Christ's message and to speak out against government when it does not hit the mark in regard to Christ's message for all people. Amen.